The big question, what role should the government play in the housing market?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We'll get to the big question in just a moment. First, word this morning that there was a rise in the number of new homes being built in July. The Commerce Department said housing starts rose 1.7% over this time last year, but with new data, said June had a bigger drop than earlier thought. Now to the big question. What should the government do with home mortgage backers Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? Some ideas will come from a meeting today in Washington with Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. The government-backed mortgage giants have been bleeding and needing lots of money, and a sour housing market isn't making the future look any better. Susan Wachter is professor of real estate and finance at the University of Pennsylvania Wharton School of Business. She's with us live from Philadelphia. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Should the government be in the mortgage business in the first place?
Absolutely. The government has to be at least in the business of setting the rules of the game. By the way, I'm not in Philadelphia. I'm in Washington, about to go into the meeting.
Okay, my apologies there from Washington.
No problem.
So all right, so they should be in the mortgage business setting policy. What can be done then with Fannie and Freddie?
In the short run, we need Fannie and Freddie because they are the way the government is supporting the housing market. The housing market could easily go into a double dip, pulling the whole economy down. In the longer run, we need to restructure the entire system, and we need to have transparency so that private capital is at risk and the taxpayer is protected.
And what do you think is going to be tossed around to this meeting today, Professor?
The role of the government, how deep going forward the role of the government guarantees are going to be. And from my perspective, what will be key here is a level playing field, regulate all players in this market.
You know, one of the ideas that's being tossed around is to lower the size of a mortgage that Fannie or Freddie can underwrite. Is that a good idea?
Well, I think going forward, we're not going to have a Fannie or Freddie, so that's going to be irrelevant. But absolutely going forward, we need to have a growing private sector with private capital at risk. And in that sense, Fannie and Freddie, or whatever is their successor, will have a smaller role to play, and specifically like FHA for mortgages that are for the affordable sector of the market.
Susan Wachter, professor of real estate at the Wharton School of Business. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Americans cut back on routine medical care because of the recession, but Europeans did as well, but by far less. That's according to a new report from the National Bureau of Economic Research. From the Marketplace Health Desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Gregory Warner has more.
The study found that one in four Americans cut back on doctor's visits for non-emergency care last year, and the harder your life was hit by the recession, the more likely you were to cut back. Canadians and Europeans also cut back on their doctor's visits, but by much less. Basically, the more your country makes you pay out of pocket, the less likely you are to spend that money on health care. J.B. Silvers teaches healthcare finance at Case Western Reserve University.
If you have out-of-pocket costs and you're in an uncertain time, you're more careful with how you spend your money.
Bob Atlas is with the consulting firm Avalere Health in Washington. He says it's harder to make an appointment with a primary care doctor.
If people reach out to the doctor and you're told, we can see you in 10 days, 2 weeks, you may decide it's not worth it, or you may take the appointment and then discover you get better and then not go.
Or you might get worse and end up in the emergency room where health costs are higher. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Stocks are rebounding a bit today after a sluggish start to the week. Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are higher right now. European shares up at the moment, about 0.5%. Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ added more than 0.33%. The Dow was down 1 point to close at 10,302. Wholesale prices rose last month for the first time in 5 months. That eases fear of deflation. Home improvement store Home Depot said today profits were slightly higher in the last 3 months. Cost-cutting helped them get there. Sales, not so much. Abercrombie & Fitch said lower prices helped boost sales and profits in the second quarter for their stores, but a poor sales market means they'll close 60 American stores this year.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. by Gather.com, the social network where people can make new friends who share their interests. People talking about today's news at news.gather.com. And by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place. LendingTree.com.
We've been talking about skyrocketing prices in global commodities lately, and cotton is the latest to see its prices jump. It all comes down to supply and demand and global natural disasters. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler explains.
Floods and landslides damaged the supply of cotton coming from China, the world's largest cotton producer, and the horrific floods in Pakistan destroyed about a third of that country's crop. Global inventories are running low. At the same time, consumers in China and India are buying more clothes, so demand for cotton is rising.
The mills are scrambling, trying to find supplies, and that pipeline is empty right now.
That's independent cotton analyst Mike Stevens. He says supplies will remain tight until the harvest in October.
This is going to be a good year for cotton farmers in the United States.
But it's not such a good year for manufacturers. For companies like Hanes and Levi Strauss, higher cotton prices add up to millions of dollars in extra expenses. Stevens says apparel companies will pass along those higher costs.
Our days are numbered as far as cheap clothes.
He expects retail prices for clothing will get more expensive just in time for the holiday shopping season. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And finally, social network giant Facebook officially has a like button with a thumbs up symbol for friends who want to show they agree with a post or a picture. It doesn't, however, have a dislike button. Well, wouldn't you know it, a spammer found a way to trick people into thinking they could just download and install a dislike button. What they downloaded instead was a bug that sent all of their friends another spam message. While millions on Facebook support an official dislike button, there's always the old-fashioned method of just typing out the word dislike or just unfriend them. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.